branding your application, branding your company. It's more than colors. It's more than a logo. There's so many pieces. And one critical piece is the font type that you're using. Microsoft loves the Sago font, and that's what we're going to talk about on this episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. I'm Jerry, and I'm glad to be talking to Cy Daniels. He's a PM on the Office design team, but just last week, he was on the Windows font team, the same team that brought birth to the Sago font that we see everywhere. Everywhere that Microsoft brands itself in our apps, in our literature, on the web. And there's a story behind this font, and we're here to talk to Cy, who was there when the font was born. Before we talk about Sago, let's talk about real people for a second, though, Cy. Tell us who you are.
Yeah, I'm Cy Daniels. As you said, I'm a PM on the Office design team. I've been in Office for 3 days. For the prior 19, 20 years, depending on how you count it, I was PM on the Windows font team. Now I'm in Office. But I'm a font guy. First and foremost, Microsoft font guy. So yeah, I love to talk about fonts.
So I guess because you're font guy, that makes you love, I guess, the Comic Sans font a lot, right? I mean, you're really, were you the father of Comic Sans?
I know. Actually, Comic Sans was a little bit before my time. But as I kind of think of all of the fonts that Microsoft ship as kind of my children in a way. Mm-hmm. And you can't kind of pick and choose. Everyone has its
don't
unique.
Don't pick a favorite.
Don't pick a favorite. Everyone has its unique personality, and Comic Sans, love it or hate it, it's out there. And
well, if there's one font that defines Microsoft today, right, it is certainly the family of Sago fonts, right? It would be too easy for me to just say Sago, because that's not enough. It's a whole family of fonts that we have with many sub fonts under it. When did this begin? Take us back in time. When was the beginning?
Okay, so there's an internal Microsoft event you may have heard of. It was called Design Days. And it was it's probably been around since the late 90s. It was an opportunity for everyone involved in design to get together for us, like internal talks, and see what people are doing. And it was at the 2001 Design Days that I started a conversation with people who are in the Windows Shell team and people who are in the branding team to talk about what we could do to come together with the font team to produce a font that would work in both UI and branding, which was really something nobody had really had done up until that point. No one had used the same font in their
UI
and in their brand. So it was, I'm sure someone out there will say, oh, of course, Nokia did it in 1996. Something, but it was pretty unique at the time.
That's a long time ago. That's almost 15 years ago that we. So prior to that, the font team was busy cranking out fonts that were used. Probably their biggest consumer was maybe Office, maybe using the different fonts.
Totally. The Microsoft design team was set up in the late '90s. Late 80s to do the fonts for Windows 3.1 and for Office. And initially the fonts were the Times New Roman, the Arial, and the Courier New, which were what we called the core fonts. Windows was using bitmap UI fonts originally, a font called MS Sans for the UI. The font team has been in existence for a very long time before I started with the company, making fonts company-wide.
Got it. And so you were talking about the idea of what if we had these fonts and we really did leverage them universally across everything, so there was a familiarity and a branding across all of it.
Absolutely.
And Sago didn't exist back then.
No, it was kind of a little bit worse than that, because we did have a branding font, a very successful branding font, historic kind of American font, Franklin Gothic, designed last century, beginning of the last century, which is a very good typeface, a loved typeface. And that was the font that we used for our branding and our logo, not our logo, but our app logos, our product logos. And then Windows at the time, Windows XP used a whole collection of different fonts in the UI. And I actually have a slide, if you want me to pull that up, that shows a Windows XP screen that had four different UI fonts.
Let's take a look.
Okay, so here's a box shot. This is Windows XP. I think it's the Polish edition. I probably found that on the web somewhere. And that shows the Franklin Gothic used for the Windows XP. And then this is a screen I probably also found on the web, which shows what the UI looked like. It was colorful and friendly. People, I think at the time, felt it was a little bit Fisher-Price. But you can see that the mix of typefaces here. We had Trebuchet, which is a good typeface used for the title bars. And then we had some Tahoma, which is another good typeface, a Matthew Carter design. And then we had some Franklin Gothic used kind of almost at display sizes, but not quite. And then we had Microsoft Sans Serif, which was a true type version of the original Microsoft Sans bitmap font. So this was the environment that Sago was born into. I think it was crying out for a unification and a single typeface family that we could use everywhere.
Well, there was a lot going on there inside Windows XP. A lot of different fonts put together. Yeah. They seem to blend pretty nicely. Mm-hmm. I'll bet a lot of users had no idea those were actually different fonts because, you know, they're not so close. I'm sure people who are font-oriented, you know, they see the difference.
Totally, and they were all sans serif fonts, and they were different styles and different personalities. But at small sizes, things kind of work together okay. But it was, I think we could see the future was not type at tiny sizes, and we wanted to have something that would work across billboards down to the tiniest type on screen. And that's really why we decided to go out and get a new font.
I remember back in the XP days that there was another font that was supposed to be the super readable font, the Verdana font. Do you remember that font?
Oh, well, totally, yeah. So Verdana was a font.
Oh, Verdana.
Verdana, yeah. It was commissioned from the same designer as who did Tahoma, which was one of the fonts used there. And it was designed as a reading font. The problem with Verdana is that it was very widely spaced. So it was great on web pages where you kind of had unlimited real estate. Pages scrolled on forever back in the 90s. Kind of they do today as well, but they did back then. And so you didn't need to worry about having cramming a lot of information into a small space, which you need to do in a UI font. You don't want dialogues that go on forever. So yeah, Verdana is very, even today, very readable, legible font, but it wasn't right for UI.
All right, so we were at a turning point in history, right? Where we needed a new font. All of the existing fonts had reasons they couldn't be done, right? They were either really big, really small, somewhere they just didn't fit in the picture. So we were using other fonts to fill those gaps.
Totally.
And Sago was about to be dreamed up. Tell me what happened next.
Okay, so we got together and wrote a brief, a design brief, which is what you do when you're doing design work. And we looked at what we wanted in terms of the personality of the font. What would be how would it feel? How would people react to it? And the branding team, of course, had a very strong viewpoint as to the personality of Microsoft. They wanted the font to have a human feel, be neutral, not be too techy or get in the way of the message. It had to be very neutral, very transparent. And then the UI team, of course, needed type that would hold up under the most extreme low-resolution rendering environments. So fonts that would work down to 12 pixels of vertical space on screen, desktop screens. Right.
And you didn't say modern. You didn't say it had to look modern. That's funny. I expected that word to come out as well.
I don't know. Modern is probably overused, but it certainly had to feel contemporary. And that was one of the issues with Franklin Gothic, a great typeface, but it was based on historical models and did feel old-fashioned in a way.
Yeah.
And after you see a font used so many times, you start to associate it with certain things.
Yeah.
And so Franklin Gothic probably suffered a little bit from that, just mm-hmm. from how other people used it.
Yeah.
So we're probably at 2002 or 3 right by
yeah,
now?
Yeah, well, we actually moved pretty quickly on this. The branding team wanted to roll out updated packaging and branding materials, and the shell team, the UI team, was starting the work on Windows Vista and was looking at, what became Windows Vista and was looking at a new UI font for Vista. So we moved pretty quickly. We had a tight deadline, and we went to Monotype Imaging, which is a font development partner that had worked with Microsoft for many years. And we gave them the brief, and they said, well, we have a font on the shelf, as it were, that fits the brief, and they sent us the original version of Sago as an evaluation font.
Wow.
We tried it out, and we fell in love with it and decided we didn't want to license it. We wanted to buy the whole thing. We wanted to acquire it, and they started the real work of polishing it and getting it so that it would work in both the branding and the UI environment.
Now, obviously, we didn't lead on that we liked it, right? That way we negotiated a real low price. it's all right, I guess.
I think we got a good price. And I mean, working with the thing about Monotype is they've done most of the engineering and update work on the font. So they gave us a good price initially, and then we have given them a considerable amount of money and time in updates and the work that's gone into the font since then. So,
was Sago the UI font for Vista?
Yeah.
And so Sago's been the UI font for Windows for quite a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Vista didn't really use a lot of, it did use a little bit of large type, but it was really only with Windows 8 and 8.1 where we started blowing type up to large sizes. It really became integral in the design language, the Windows design language that really took advantage of it. But we did have that alignment early on.
Was it with Windows 8 is where we started to introduce so many of the subfamilies of Sago?
Yeah, so initially we commissioned four weights, the standard four weights, we call them weights, the regular, the bold, the italic, and the bold italic, and that's what shipped was part of Vista. And then in Windows 7, we added a semi-bold and a lightweight. And then Windows 8, we added a semi-light and a black. So we had the full set of weights and styles, including italics, across multiple languages that really gave the designers a typographic palette to do great things.
To do anything. I mean, basically, you're looking mm-hmm. at 9 variations of one font. I mean, there's a lot of options there.
Yeah.
And I have to say, in at least in Windows app development, Sago UI Lite is certainly, is it popular. People like that because it's so fine. And when you're picking between them, like what caused you mm-hmm. to want to have all these different fonts? Is there a right time, a right place? What's going on?
Oh, totally. So the light and to a certain degree the semi-light are designed to be used at large sizes. If you use them at small sizes, they start to break apart, and you occasionally see that. Even internal emails where people will use the light at text sizes, and it doesn't hold up very well. The light, as you said, is very popular. It has a very kind of polished, prestigious feel about it, and people do use it. The semi-light was designed so that you could get that same feel but at smaller sizes. So the semi-light is between the light and the regular, and it holds up better at small sizes. So that's why we made the semi-light. We actually originally made it for Zune. They had the menus were using Sago Lite, and they needed to reduce the size. I think they added the marketplace to their menus, which is a long word, meant that they had to reduce the type size down, and the light wasn't holding up. So we said, hey, we can make a semi-light for you. And that's where that came from.
That's awesome.
So that's part of the fun of being Microsoft having one font team, centralized font team. Even though we were part of Windows, we got to work with everybody.
Now that you have the full variety, I mean, there's not really, you know, partially half semi-light or anything like that, right? You're pretty much done with all the possible variations. Well, are people asking for changes?
We actually, I think if people saw some of the stuff we talked about at Build, the Surface Hub, that actually uses an extra light version of Sago for the clock. So a new device, new a different screen resolution, and the light wasn't quite light enough for them. So we produced an even lighter light, an ultralight.
Is that only shipping with Surface Hub, or is that going to be shipping just as part of the Sigo family?
I think right now it's just the numbers. So
It's okay.
It's for the clock, numbers and punctuation. So
Just in the font. It's only numbered. Oh, I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether you say the big clock that you see when you the hub screen, I guess.
So all right, so we have Sigo, and it's it ships with Windows, and developers like it because it makes them feel like they have this sort of visual alignment with the rest of the ecosystem and the operating system, and it feels good to them to look good. Obviously, not all developers use it quite properly, right? They overuse light and small text, they overuse bold and large text. Mm-hmm. And how do they pick? Can you give?
Yeah. So it's absolutely. So it's important. I think. Yeah. We've given designers and developers a large palette of type to use, and it's people go off and do degrees to learn how to use type properly. So I think that the main thing is to either find what we call a type ramp, or go and define a type ramp that identifies key sizes that you should use. You don't want to use too many weights and too many sizes. You need to pick 3 or 4 for use in your app and stick with them consistently. That avoids the scrapbook look or some of the issues of using the type at the sizes it wasn't intended for. So,
and Windows 10 obviously is going to be using Sigo, right? We've already seen it. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful font. There's kind of a mixed story here. How did Sigo get its name?
Okay, so Sigo, as I said, we licensed Sigo, we acquired Sigo from Monotype, and it already had the name. The name was one of the Monotype engineers, a guy called Tom Rickner, who has worked on Microsoft projects and Apple projects and projects for almost everybody else over the past 20 plus years, used to live on Sigo Street in Madison, Wisconsin. So the font was named after the street where he lived. and he wasn't sure of the origin, so he attributed it to the Wisconsin Native American tribes, but that wasn't correct. We looked it up. Madison was a planned, well, had a lot of city planning involved, and Sigo is named after a guy who was a city planner. I think Ladislav Sigo, I think his name was. So that's where the name came from. So yeah, but named after a street in Madison, Wisconsin is the short answer if we need to edit.
Now, is there a let me ask you this.
And I think that in Madison they call it Sigo. That's how Tom pronounces it. But I don't think there's any official pronunciation. I think you can.
Well, internally, I mean, nobody says it that way. We all say Sigo, but Sigo, I guess I won't look down on people if the author of the font says it that
way. As long as it's not Segway or, we hear that from time to time.
The Segway font?
Yeah.
So we'll roll with Sigo for now.
Yeah, that's good enough.
So I like the way you said it. You know, there's a palette of options, these sub-fonts, so that developers can do just about any, or designers can do just about anything they want to do.
Well, developers too.
Does it feel like there may be too many subfonts?
Well, I think that you shouldn't use them all. That's the key. You want to have a palette, but you don't want to overuse. I don't think there's too many. I think that you just have to show some restraint, and plan ahead. It's kind of easy to say, oh well, this style isn't quite right, I'm going to switch to another one, or I'm going to make the size smaller, or I'm going to make it all caps or all lowercase, and you can certainly go too far. I think keep it simple.
Sigo WP, right? I'd feel so important saying it.
Oh, Sigo. Yeah.
But I see some, they're almost platform specific.
Well, they were, but that's something that we've been working on over the past couple of years is to converge the Sigos. So there were, when we introduced the font, there were really two versions. There was a branding set, which we keep internal, and then there were the fonts that ship with Windows. But lots of teams would come to us and say, we need special case, we need one-offs, or we don't like numbers, or the character set is too big, or the X height's too small. And so
that's where Windows Phone version came.
And we were happy to just we loved making fonts. So we would make one-offs for everybody. And the list is kind of mind-boggling. We did a special version for the Kin that had rounded terminals. We did a version for the second generation Surface tables, which you could read at different angles. It was easier to read upside down, if you will. And so we must have made hundreds. That's not an exaggeration. Hundreds of different Go variants, and it was just becoming a little bit silly. And so we made the decision: let's try and rein this in. Let's try and have one Go source file, one Go source family that we will derive everything from. So we took the stuff that we'd learned, making all those one-offs, the numerals that we had done for Windows Phone, have held up better at larger sizes. They felt less clunky, so they became the default. We took those numerals into the Windows font, and we took them over to the brand team and said, "Hey, let's switch out the numerals." So there are different sets of numerals in today's Go than there were when we shipped it. So we took what we'd learned over the past 10 years and merged it all together, basically. And so there is no Go WP anymore. Windows 10 there is, and Xbox there is one Go with one Go source, and some very small differences, the platform specific differences.
We, being Microsoft, Go is very important to us. We ship it with Windows. You see it in apps. Who owns Go, as far as who has the rights to Go?
Okay, so Go is, as I mentioned, we acquired it from Monotype, so it's a wholly owned Microsoft IP, as we say. It's owned by Microsoft, and we are pretty protective of it because it's our branding font as well as our UI font. It's our signature. Yeah. It's our signature experience. So we include it with Windows, and see, a Windows user could use it for a resume or for a ebook or poster. It's a system-wide font that a Windows user could use, but on other platforms,
that would be inside the licensing. That would be okay. All right. Yeah.
But outside of Windows, we limit it to Microsoft applications. So we will use it in the UI of an iOS or an Android app, but we don't allow third parties to use it.
Okay. There is a constraint around Go.
Yeah,
it's not just a free-for-all. No. If you can find somebody with Windows 8, go download it off that so you can install it on your machine and have it too. That's not the way the license is meant to be used.
That's not how the license is meant to be used. Correct.
Yeah, it's meant for Windows users. So I'm thinking, I'm a developer, mm-hmm. and I've been writing Windows apps all the time. And I use Go, and I love it. And I know that I'm inside the licensing deal, right? That's right. I'm always running on Windows. But I'm ready for cross-platform. I want to keep some sort of consistency. What are my options as far as fonts, then, to be able to do that?
Well, there are a lot of open source fonts out there that people can use. And there are also fonts that you could license. You could go out and license from people like Monotype and Font Bureau and independent type designers. But we certainly saw that as a problem.
People
are writing cross-platform apps, and they don't want to, and they like Go, and they like that experience, and they don't want to have to change their font because they're going off of Windows.
Yeah.
So recently, a few months, or less than a few months ago, we issued a font that's compatible with Go under an open source license, and the font's called Celawick. It's currently available in a limited character set, West European character set. We hope to expand on that. It's released under the SIL Open Font License. It's part of the WinJS project, and so people can go away and get that. And the great thing about it is it's a different design to Go, but it's based on Go's metrics, which means the height and the width of all the characters match Go. So
it's still a sans serif font like Go is. So it's going to feel like, now probably to the average Joe like me, I'm going to look at the two and I won't recognize really that they're not the same font. To somebody like you, it's probably like green and blue.
Well, I think we've tried to give it a different personality. So it does have a different feel, and I'll pull up a screen grab of or a PDF of it, so you can see the difference. A lot of people can't tell the difference between fonts, so that's okay.
Okay. Well, maybe you could walk us through sort of the base construction of Sago.
Okay.
Okay, Sai, I can see some fonts here. What are we looking
at? Yeah, so this is Celawick. This is the compatible Sago compatible open source font that we released about a month ago, and it certainly has in the lowercase a different personality. It does feel a bit more techy. This is the light. On the caps are pretty similar. It's hard to redraw the Roman capitals, but they have a slight difference. The K and the R being the most obvious differences from Sago. And this is, as I said, the lightweight. Is the scrolling okay? This is the regular, I believe, or the semi-light. I'm not too sure. This was designed by an internal type designer who is on the Windows font team, Aaron Bell. We have done very, I think probably Comic Sans was the last font that was designed by an internal type designer. So there's a heritage of type design internally to Microsoft, and this is the latest. So yeah, it's a design that's been well received, and
it has that clean feel, right? I think that's why people love Sago, because it's so clean, not a bunch of weird serifs or funky shapes. This has that same sort of thing going on.
And as an open source font, hopefully it'll take on a life of its own, and people will use it, and they're obviously free to use it outside of doing cross-platform apps, but that's what it was intended for.
And you have Sago up as well, probably.
Yeah, so let me pull up my other Sago deck. I'm going to skip that. So yeah, these were the original weights of Sago that we made back in 2002. Branding had additional weights and styles. Smaller character sets, less of what we call hinting, which is the tuning for use at small sizes. You can see we have condensed here, which we've never included with Windows. This would be used for the small print system requirements, things like that, on the packaging. That's Sago as initially shipped.
Now, so before you go away from that for a second, this is great. Yeah, this is great. What are some of the qualities of Sago that allow you to recognize it when you're comparing to other fonts? Because there's a lot of similar fonts.
Yeah, totally. There are definitely different designs out there. Definitely different what we call humanist sans serif designs out there. Myriad being quite a popular Adobe font that's used by a lot of companies. The way I tell the difference is the Sago has the terminals, if you can see the S on this screen, is at 90 degrees. It's a sharp cutoff terminal. That's kind of required for hinting or getting the font to work well at small sizes on screen. And so that's not a unique feature, but a feature that differentiates Sago from other fonts. Myriad has an M, which we call displayed M. So it's the M is kind of like two A's kind of stuck together, whereas our M is a straight M, and the Y on Myriad has the descender on it is different than Sago. So I can look around and I see posters, and I can tell pretty quickly spots Sago.
Now you and I love Sago, but are you a little complimented by the fact that it seems like everybody likes the style of Sago? You see it everywhere.
I am pleased. Yeah, absolutely. It's nice to see the work out there in unexpected places. As I said, I see it on posters and see it in odd places.
Just everywhere. This style. I feel like it's Microsoft branding. Even our competitors, they seem to like this style of font as well.
Yeah, I think that we've seen a trend in some of the competitors going to the light style of fonts, and that's something that we've been using for a while. Yeah, it's good.
It's compliment. It's definitely a compliment.
Awesome.
All right, what are we looking at here?
So this was a bunch of the different Sego variants. As I said, this is just a small set of the fonts that we made over the years, and really why we tried to consolidate into one family. We saw the kind of the platform convergence thing coming, and Sego being so critical to Xbox, to phone, to Windows, and to everything else. We wanted to make life simple for developers and simpler for ourselves by reducing the number of variants.
I see. How is Sego compared to, say, like Verdana? Is it as readable, do you feel?
I think it is. Now, Verdana is definitely scores well, because I think primarily because of its wide spacing. The Verdana letter shapes are very legible, but it also is more widely spaced than most fonts, which lends to its readability. But Sego is in a similar style. It's a little bit more friendly. It's a little bit less mechanical, and it holds up very well.
Okay. Now I see this says no italics. Is this guidance or is this telling me? Because I
no,
just
sorry. Yeah,
this added.
So this was the Sego WP that shipped on the Windows Phone 8,
see.
And those were the set of weights that shipped. And here, these are the differences between Sego and Sego WP, and you can see that the numerals that I talked about earlier, and how we decided to use the new Sego phone numerals across when we converged the fonts. This is the Windows CXE team that we were part of when we did the Sego convergence or Sego consolidation work. There's a guy here, you see my pointer. This is one of my PMs, Ali. He's actually, it was superhero day, so everybody's dressed up as superheroes. He's actually dressed as Matthew Carter, who's the designer of Verdana. This is how much he loves type, that he sees a type designer as a superhero. And I'm over here, I'm Clint Eastwood, which I don't, I'm the man with no name, I guess.
All right, that's pretty cool. So does the Windows font team, do they also own MDL2 assets?
Yes, so anything that ships as a TrueType font or any font format has probably been at least reviewed by the fonts team. That was a really fun project. So I also owned icons for about Windows operating system group icons for about a year and a half. I was a big reorg as we have at Microsoft, and I volunteered to take on icons. I thought, how hard can that be? It turns out, people care a lot about icons. So, and working within the OSG design team on a new icon style. There's a team over there that came up with the new icon style, and then I had a team. Maxed out at about 22 people who were most of the time drawing icons in the new style. Mm. And we developed a workflow and a process by which we would bring all of those newly designed icons into a source font file and had a viewer and a process by which we could produce subsetted icon fonts for all the feature teams across the company, not just within the operating systems group, who wanted to adopt the new icon style. So, that was a very fun project. And
I have to say, the new icons, especially in MDL2 assets, is they look like Sego fonts almost.
Oh, yeah.
They feel like that when you look at them. That's quite thin, quite lean. It's really nice looking. Now you're over on the Office team, and Office is doing a lot. I mean, you said you were on the icon part of Windows, but Office has actually dumped all their icons, and they're moving towards, I don't know if they have yet or not, but in their vision, right? Their vision is to dump all their icons and move to colored fonts because they can scale so beautifully and they're so tiny when they ship.
Yeah, so absolutely. No, I've worked with Burns over here on the Office icons team for several years. I know her very well, and she's a peer of mine over in Office Design. A very ambitious project, and I've been consulting on that And yeah, it's certainly interesting. The color fonts are nothing new. We've had color fonts since the medieval printing days, where you would have overlay different colors. And really, with Windows 8.1, we added color font support to the OpenType format, where we took away the manual part of doing color fonts. Where all of the information on the color palettes and the layers is included in the font format. We primarily did it for emoji. We didn't want to use bitmap fonts or bitmap images for our emoji. We wanted to have proper full color emoji. The design style we had defined lent itself to kind of the flat layered approach to emoji design. And so the color font format has been used I think quite successfully for
it's
the emoji.
It's pretty powerful.
Oh, Cy, there's icons.
there's so much we didn't get to talk about too. There's how we handle foreign languages, how we really the way hinting works. We didn't talk about clear type and all these things that do they even matter anymore and play together. But man, the history of Sago is actually pretty fascinating. I think a lot of developers would be fascinating just to realize something I think a lot of people thought that we invented Sago for the sake of Windows 8. They didn't see it go back through the family of Windows, and it's been around for so long as well. Really fascinating. Cy, hey, best of luck making Office awesome. That's going to be terrific. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll talk to you again.
Sounds good. Thanks.